One announcement that I should make is if you're a new deacon or a new elder, you're invited to these two meetings. Some of you are deacons going, becoming elders, so you probably go with your deacons meeting, but you're invited to this. We will try. I'm going to do a service of installation and ordination next week at both services, depending on which service people come to. So we'll be taking care of that as we get ready for the next year. This this is actually the seventh in a series of messages I started back in August on kings and kingdoms. We're all kings and kingdoms and have kingdoms in this world. And I was looking at different kings in the Old Testament, and I looked at one in the New Testament too, as to how they dealt with certain things within the context of their lives and things that we all deal with. And I would like for us to begin today by reading Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, because it speaks about actually three different kings. I don't know if you can get that up here, but you got it in your bulletin. Just verse 1 of Matthew 2. There it is. Let's read it together. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying. Now, in that one verse, you have King Herod, you have King Jesus, and you have a group of men who we have come to describe as the three kings, though they weren't actually kings in terms of what you would normally think of kings. But and we really aren't sure how many of them there were. What we are sure of is that there were three gifts. But this is the seventh in a series I did. I began back in August. On September 20th, I actually talked about King Herod. And Herod was a man that was filled with hate and self-preservation, and he is a picture of anyone whose universe begins and ends with themselves. And Herod is a picture of whose universe began with himself and ended with himself. And every day we have to ask the question, who's on the throne of my life? Is it me? Is it Jesus? You know, if we name the name of Jesus as our Savior and we're in that process of making him Lord of our lives, we have to decide whether we're going to protect our own personal thrones in our lives or from Jesus or not. In the days of Herod the king, the presence of Jesus comes in the days of Herod the king. Or you might say in the days of Jack, the king as I sit on my personal throne. Or you in the days of your life, and you can put your own name in there, where there are rumors of another king of your life being born, do you protect your own personal throne? In the days of Herod the king, Jesus was born. Let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that as we look at the child King Jesus, that you would open this story up to us so that we could see how it relates to us and how we relate to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to deal with the little child whose name is Jesus and the vulnerability of that child and this story. And I want us to see a picture of ourselves as children of God, because anyone who names the name of Jesus as Savior and you're in that process of making him Lord of your life, you wish to serve him, you are a child of God. Read with me Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 3. Here we go. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Unless we become like children, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Read with me Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. "For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. We're called children of God in this passage, or children of light. And we are called this because we accept Jesus as our Savior, and we're in that process of making Him Lord of our lives. And we are adopted into the family of God, and we become heirs to the kingdom with Jesus. I want us to see how God protects, provides for, and gives direction in order for the fulfillment of His Son, so it can happen in this world. And in that picture, I want us to recognize that as His children, God also works in us, in our lives, to protect us, to provide for us, to give us direction in terms of how to live our lives. And it's all based upon the fact that we need to come to God as children. Let me show you something interesting that struck me in this passage in Matthew chapter 2, and I've highlighted it so you can see it. I want you to notice that it seems to be very pointed, but unless you are really paying attention, you might not pick up on it. It starts out by naming Jesus, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. But He is not spoken of by name again in that chapter. But 9 times there is a reference made to Jesus as the child. And that is a young child, actually. The word in Greek is paideion, which is the word for a young child, a toddler. Now, I'm going to read this to you, and listen for the word of God as it comes to you through this reading. And this is the Christmas story, at least one version of it in one of the Gospels. And I want you to listen. Receive it. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' And when they had heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there till I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, was in a furious rage, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. Now, I talked about Herod back in September, and if you want it, it's out there on the where the CDs are out on the wall out there. And because that is also a story about some of us. Let me raise up to you this truth again, that unless we become as little children, and the word is the same, by the way, that is used in Matthew chapter 2, in chapter 18, little children. We are, in fact, the children of God. And with that understanding in our minds as a backdrop, I want to look at the way that God protects, provides for, and gives direction to make sure that Jesus reaches the fulfillment of his purpose. Jesus, God's vulnerable child king, who comes as the Savior, God's Redeemer sent to us, who not only redeems us as Savior, but also wants to make each one of us to be agents of redemption in this world as he becomes king of our lives. In other words, God really wants all of us. He wants not only to save you, but he wants to make you into an agent of salvation, an agent of redemption, an agent of deliverance, kind of like Moses was an agent of deliverance to the children of Israel out of Egypt. He wants us to make us agents as of deliverance. But we must become little children. And that requires willingness to become vulnerable like Jesus was when he was born. The question is, how much like a child will you become? Which is another way of saying, how vulnerable will you become as one of God's children in this world? And children are vulnerable, aren't they? The essence of vulnerability has to do with how exposed a person is. Exposure to the possibility of injury. In battle, it would be exposure with the possibility of death. Vulnerable means that a person can be easily hurt if someone takes advantage of them. When a person is vulnerable, they are running the risk of being subject to criticism, subject to misunderstanding, or they are without defense. Vulnerable. And there's a picture of vulnerability in children. We can see it. We know. I had a group up here. Now, I don't think the Holy Spirit is redundant. When things are repeated in Scripture, I think it is for a reason. And it's for our understanding and perception. 9 times in this Scripture, the term young child is used. That's like a toddler. And that's a lot of times in one chapter. I mean, the name of Jesus could have been used 2 or 3 times at least, besides the word young child, toddler. I think this term is used to make a point about the vulnerability of that child. And I thought, well, why? Why would God do this? And it began to sink into me that God wanted there to be a solid reminder to all of us that that child is not a cute little necessity if you're going to come as a human being. But that child, so often mentioned here, talks about really about vulnerability of the Christ child and the picture about us as God's children. The point is that the helplessness of a person who chooses to become an agent of God in this world, like you and me, we make up our minds individually whether or not we are going to be willing to be a child of God and an agent of redemption, and more than likely, that's going to make us very vulnerable in terms of some parts of our lives. Jesus said, unless you become as a little child or a young child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that's what discipleship is really all about. You know, God could have revealed himself to us in any number of ways. He could have come to us like a giant black obelisk, like in the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey. Or he could come as a huge apparition that maybe appears every 100 years or so with a message. He could have done it any way he wanted. I mean, he is almighty. I'm sure he could really give us a show with some tremendous special effects if he so desired. And to tell you the truth, he has done that on occasion. All you have to do is read the Old Testament, and you're going to find some pretty neat little things that he did back then. But when it comes to redemption of the world, and that's part, you're in that as well, by the way, the Bible forecasts that a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. And with those words, the prophecy is made that from the seed of woman, the Redeemer will come forth, and there will be a conflict between the Redeemer and the works of evil, and that it will cost him as he becomes vulnerable in this world. From the book of Genesis, 4,000 years before Christ, we come to this moment right here where it says, in the days of Herod the king, Jesus was born. Let me ask you, what is more vulnerable to misunderstanding than this proposition? That the child is born of a virgin. Now, who's going to buy into that program? Who's going to believe that today? Or even 2,000 years ago, for that matter, mocked the woman. What kind of wild idea is this? Who's going to believe this excuse? Sure, she was a virgin. Sure she was. Vulnerability first in the misunderstanding by which the birth comes. Then the child and helplessness, the vulnerability of that child in a very hostile world. A virgin shall conceive and bear a child. Vulnerable to criticism, misunderstanding, to extinction just because of the helplessness of an infant in a very hostile society, living as part of an oppressed people, a conquered people, and the question comes, hey God, why not do it another way? I mean, after all, God, if you're going to reveal yourself to humanity, prove that you are God. Do it big. Now, that's the way we would do it. You got to be flashy. The issue is not so much the recognition and acceptance, which we think God needs, but the issue is getting across the revelation of God to meet us where we are and to speak to our own human need and to meet us as us. You know, we might think something flashy is really good, but it doesn't speak to our lives, does it? We think we need a show of power or mystery, but you know what? What we really need is to understand where our real source of life comes from in terms of something that is personal to each of us, and that is only accomplished to us when he meets us where we are. That's a revelation of God. What answers human need? Your human need. The real source of life lies in understanding the vulnerability of love. And so he came as a child so that he could become like, help us to become like young children. Help us to be children of God. I want you to know something about this story and your story as well, if you are a child of God. This young child is really not very much at risk. And that is important for us to know. Appearances can be deceiving. And so it is important for us to see things, to see people, see situations, see ourselves from the viewpoint of God. Why does God run the apparent risk of his son being a baby, not even born in a hospital, but instead in a highly infectious place like a stable? Jesus is born into a hostile regime where they are basically an oppressed people instead of a nice family in a free country. Everything is stacked against this child. Why do it this way? The reason is, and now you need to hear me, that our Father, God Almighty, wants us to understand a truth. But we don't understand the truth unless we see the foundation, the example of that truth. We need concrete examples to show us the truth about our own childhood as part of God's kingdom. The truth about this child, and which is also true about any child of God, that is, anyone who names Jesus as Savior, and you're in that process of making him Lord of your life, to follow him with your life, there's no chance whatsoever that this child would fail to reach God's intended purposes. This is God's Son, the Redeemer, who has come to accomplish salvation for humanity, and God has not put that on chancy status. All the resources of heaven are at the disposal of this child. Doesn't look like that. This is not magical either. Jesus doesn't just snap his fingers and do magical things. He lives as a man. Jesus grew up as a child. He was sinless and he was an extraordinary, and he had a strong grasp of life and intellect, but he wasn't playing the game with bigger marbles than you and I do. He was a person like you and me. And it wasn't until he was 30 that his ministry came alive. And there was probably momentary flashes during the first 30 years, and people might notice things, but he didn't really come to that time until he was 30. He was like us. He was born, he was a child, he grew up, he was vulnerable. And his Father who is in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, gave him three things. And he gives us the same three things. And if you take notes on this, the first one is protection, the second one is direction, and the third one is provision. First, protection and direction. He tells to Joseph in a dream by an angel that the child's life is in jeopardy and that he should leave with Mary and the child and go down to Egypt and then later on to go back to Bethlehem or the Jerusalem area, but to go, not to go there, but to go to Galilee. There is protection in hiding. And there is direction as to what to do when. Protection and direction. The third one is provision. If you have to go down to Egypt for a while, how are you going to pay for the trip and support yourself? Well, Joseph has work, but it's not easy to support yourself in a foreign country and just take up a business overnight. Where does the money come from? Well, God finances the whole thing through the gifts of these wise men who come from the east. And they show up. These guys take a journey to provide for his son. So God provides protection and direction and provision. And I want you to know that these are real people just like us involved in this story. I'm sure that Joseph was not thinking about the prophecy in Hosea where it says, out of Egypt I have called my son. In the midst of this time, I doubt if he thought about Bethlehem being the place where the child needed to be born. I doubt if he wanted to go back to Nazareth either. I mean, he and Mary had left Nazareth under a cloud anyway. Her reputation was in question. He was probably considered the town fool for marrying this girl in the first place, who had gotten pregnant by God, by somebody else. And God tells him in a dream, go back to Nazareth. Well, thank you very much, God. You know, if we can just get away from the tinsel and the pageantry of the Christmas story and you come back to Joseph and Mary and real life and see them as people whose lives are very unpredictable, uncertain, and horribly vulnerable at times, real life people just like you and me, people who are God's people with a desire to be in God's will, but there are a lot of uncertainties. Some of them are internal in nature and some of them are external in their lives, but they are protected They are given direction, but it probably seemed pretty strange to them. They were also provided for. And when it's all over, every single point of God's purpose and prophecy gets fulfilled, and at every point they are protected and given direction and provided for, and their purpose is fulfilled. Isn't that true of all God's children? What does this say about things God has spoken to your heart? One thing I figured out over the years is that almost never in my life do I recognize things being fulfilled until after they are fulfilled. I'm only when they are over and I say, oh, God, now I can see. Oh, this is how you were working back there. We live forwards, but we interpret our lives as we look backwards. One thing I know for sure, if you think that you've got it all figured out, how God is working in your life, the one thing you can be sure of is that it won't happen the way you think it's going to. And the other thing I know is most of the time we don't even recognize his hand in our lives either until after the fact. I'm positive that Joseph and Mary are just like us, and they certainly weren't thinking, oh gosh, we get to be in Scripture. Protection, direction, and provision for the child and all God's children. Hasn't he given you protection at times? Oh, I know that. Direction at times? Provision for the journey in terms of your life? I don't see many of us wasting away from lack of provision or coming in here all beat up. So there's some type of protection that's going on. And if you're here, I am the voice of God for some today in terms of direction for your life. But life is so uncertain, isn't it? And so many times we are so vulnerable, aren't we? So I'm here to tell you today on behalf of our Father who is in heaven, if you feel very exposed and vulnerable in your life right now, or you are very uncertain about the circumstances in your life right now because you are at risk, you are going to make it. No matter how vulnerable your situation may appear to be, there is a guarantee of your Father's protection. If you are a child of God, he will protect you. He will also direct you if you will listen. And he will provide for your needs as well. Now, I am not a spectacular display of brilliance up here. And I am not some cosmic calling card either. I'm not a large obelisk where people can marvel at the power of God. I'm just a guy. And I am a child of God, just like you. And this child of God is just telling the rest of you children, kids, that Jesus was a child like us. If God had been flashy in coming to us, all he would have shown us is power. But we don't need to see the power. We need to feel the love in our hearts. So he came to show us love and mercy because at the heart of everything that he is a loving God who knows our hearts and our needs and our circumstances. And so he comes to us like us to show us that he knows what it means to be at risk, at the mercy of circumstance, to experience the possibility of rejection or pain or misunderstanding or criticism or sickness or death. He came like us because some kind of flashy thing out there really doesn't talk to us as individuals. It's just flashy. And we go, wow, but it isn't where you live. He came to us as a young child, vulnerable like us, and he lives his life and dies of his own choosing. He rises from the dead. He comes to us as a young child and says that our Father's purpose in every one of our lives is really never at risk as long as we are willing to be an agent of redemption to those that we touch. Not only to receive the redemption, but who are willing to be agents of redemption. If you're willing to be an agent of redemption, there is the promise of protection, direction, and provision for the journey of your life. And that's where we can say, Merry Christmas and God bless you. And may God protect, direct, and provide for your journey. Let's pray. Lord, you know the journey that all of us are on. So I ask that you would walk with us and be our covering, point the way, and provide for us. In Jesus' name, amen.